Greetings to you in the name of Jesus this morning. As Brother Leon was sharing in the devotional, I figured that our thoughts would probably be heading the same direction this morning. And I make no apology for that, because in times like this, we should be contemplating and thinking and allowing God to search our hearts. The question that came to me and I used it as a sermon title this morning is, why am I here? This morning there's a family that has one person missing. Children this morning, there's a family where the children in that family got up this morning and there's a brother that isn't there. Parents, there's a family this morning that got up and one of their children is not there. Why am I here? Why did I have the privilege of reaching the age of 60 and Lindrick didn't reach the age of 13? There's many people today in situations like this that would question God and say, how can a loving God allow something like this to happen? There's many people today that would question and say, it's not fair. Why would this happen to good people? But we all need to stop and consider the question that stares us in the face, and that is, why am I here? Am I fulfilling the purpose, the task, the reason that God has allowed me to be here? Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, the writer to the Romans is talking about the Gentiles. He talks first about the remnant of the children of Israel and how there's some who believe, there's some who have accepted the teaching and the practicality of Christ and being the Messiah and being the Son of God, but there's many that have rejected it. And he says, because of this rejection, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Because of this rejection, because of the original branches being cut off, the Gentile branches were grafted in. And he speaks about the possibility of the Gentile branches rebelling and being in unbelief like the original branches were and also being cut off. And he talks about the original branches, the possibility of them being grafted back in again as they believe. And this whole concept tends to be a mystery. That's kind of hard to understand how the the Israelite nation rejected God, the Gentile church era came into being, and there were some questions. And it's interesting to note that at the end of that whole discourse, in explaining the cutting off of Israel, and Paul asks the question, has God rejected Israel? Has God thrown Israel away? He says, no, he hasn't. He said, because I am an Israelite. I am of the tribe of Benjamin, he says. But this whole concept is kind of hard to fathom, hard to think about. And at the end of that, in verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And then he begins to quote some Old Testament scriptures from Isaiah and from Job. He says, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. We tend to look at situations like Lindrick's death, and we wonder why. God, why? Why did this have to happen? Why? And there's a lot of things going around in our minds. The question is, do we understand God's ways and reasonings? No, we don't. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Our human minds cannot comprehend, cannot think through the process. We cannot see the end that God sees. We can't understand because we don't have the wisdom and knowledge of God. Do we have to understand? No. We don't have to understand. It's not wrong to ask questions. You look back in Job's life when he was experiencing all those terrible things in his life. And he had a lot of questions. And he said, oh, that there was a day's man between me and God. So that I could communicate with him and ask him and question him and try and find out what this is all about. But Job didn't get all the answers, did he? His friends came and communed with him and I guess in a way it just made the situation worse. They tried to, you know, Job, there's got to be something wrong in your life. You know, God is chastising you for some reason. God is you know, you just aren't obedient to God, and God is trying to get your attention. Job says, no, I know that I am living according to God's will. But why is this happening to me? In the end, God says to Job, you know, look, Job, here's some questions for you. And he asked Job a whole list of questions. And he says, Job, where were you when this happened? Job, who counseled me to do this? Who directed me? Who taught me? Job, where does the snow come from? Job, the big Leviathan out in the water. Who created him? And Job sat back and he covered his mouth and he said, I don't know. I can't answer. And he came to realize that God's ways were so far beyond his that he didn't have the answers to the questions. And his own questions became very minute and small in his mind as he began to realize the great God that was in charge of it all. And so you and I today, we don't have to understand God. We don't have to understand why this or why that. Maybe something in our own life. Maybe we see situations like the Weaver family is going through, and we have the why question, and we may even consider how unfair it is. But we don't need to understand all that. The next question is, can we depend on God's love? And yes, we can. It does not matter if we are living in the will of God, what God allows in our lives, or in the lives of our friends who are living in the will of God, because we can depend on the love of God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, Linford and Lisa can depend on the love of God. They may not understand why, just like we don't understand why. They may not understand all the implications, and we don't either. But we can depend on the love of God. We can have faith in his sovereignty. You know, Job never got the answer as to why all these things happened to him. But I like to think sometimes of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and we see Job there. And we have the opportunity to go up to Job and say, thank you for your faithfulness, because it was such an encouragement to me. And I think maybe Job will begin to understand why. He may begin to get some of the answers to his questions. Why did this happen? It may not have been so much for Job's benefit as it was for ours today. And for the many, many people who were able to read the account of Job and to be encouraged by his faithfulness, to be encouraged by the fact that he retained his integrity and he did not curse God. But he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this morning, can we resign ourselves to that fact? Can we give ourselves over to the fact that God is sovereign? And that we belong to him? Getting back to the question that I asked at the beginning, the title of the sermon, why am I here? I'd like to read the first two verses in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I don't have the answer to why I am here, and Lindrick is not. But I do know from the Word of God what God is requiring of me while I'm still here. And that is what every one of us needs to look at fairly and squarely. Brother Leon talked about time this morning.
What was that number, that figure that you had for how many seconds in the day?
86,400 seconds. Every one of us, young and old, have that time. What are we doing with it? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us that God is expecting us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He has given us that time. What are we doing with it? Are we willing to sacrifice that back to God and live for Him? A living sacrifice, but that encroaches so much on my time. That encroaches so much on my schedule. That encroaches so much on what I want to do. Brothers and sisters, our time, our schedule, what we want to do needs to be sacrificed to God. We don't have a choice. Because we have given ourselves to God. So therefore, our time belongs to God. It's not mine anymore. What do we do throughout the day when we meet somebody and their heart is searching? Do we have time to talk to them? Do we have time to discuss things with them? Do we have time to point them to Jesus Christ? Oh, but I have so many other things to do. And we have so many excuses. We have so many reasons why we don't have time. Brothers and sisters, I marvel at individuals who are willing to lay aside their own schedule and spend time with somebody who needs it. They may not make all that extra money. They may not be able to afford all the things that they would like to have, like their neighbors have. They may not be able to drive the best vehicle around. But they had time to help someone. A living sacrifice. What have I sacrificed for Jesus Christ? What have I sacrificed for God so that I might live a holy and acceptable life to God? Young people this morning, time. By general standards, you have a lot of time ahead of you. You have a lot of days and months and years ahead of you. But Lindrick's death is a reminder that we don't all have all those years of time ahead of us. I worked with a young man that left work one evening and less than a mile down the road, nobody knows what happened, but he hit a pole and rolled his car and was killed. Nobody was expecting that. I'm sure he wasn't expecting that. Are we living a sacrificial life today, now? We're here. We have time. We don't know how long. Are we living a sacrificial life to God? Are we living a holy life, a life that is acceptable to him? Have we sacrificed ourselves and our will and all that we have to God? That's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for others. We're here for God. Verse 2 there says, "And be not conformed to this world." What does that mean? That word conformed means to be molded and shaped to fit like the world. How conformed am I to the world? It's a question that each one of us must face. We are here. Is our life conformed to this world? Does it fit into the mold? Is it shaped by the world? Is it a life that matches the patterns and the fads and the demands of the world? God says to us today, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Transformed. Changed. We're not that old carnal man anymore. Our minds have been renewed. How? By the washing of the blood and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Our minds are renewed. Brothers and sisters, our minds aren't in the gutter anymore. Our minds aren't in the filth and the dirt of the world anymore. Our minds aren't on ourselves anymore. Our minds aren't filled with the lust and the pleasures of this world. They're renewed. They're filled with the Holy Spirit and with thoughts of God. I'd like to tell you this morning that there's not room for both of them in your mind. You cannot fill your mind with the filth of the world and fill your mind with pure thoughts from God at the same time. It doesn't work. If you ever tried to pour muddy water and clean water into the same container, what happens? The only way to get rid of that is to pour it out, clean the container, and fill it with pure, clean water. And that's what we need to do with our minds. We need to allow God to fill our minds with purity. And when our minds are filled with purity, we won't be conformed to this world. We will be transformed. We will be changed. We'll be a different individual. We'll be living a different life. And it's going to show by the choices that we make and the things that we do. It's going to show by the amount of time and how dedicated we are to God and how willing we are to listen to God and how important it is for us to know what God says to us. And in order to do that, we need to continue to fill our minds with the purity of God and His Word. Why am I here today? I don't know what God has in store for me. You don't know what God has in store for you. You have plans. You have ideas. You have goals. But you don't know what God has in store for you. God can change those plans in a short period of time. But for right now, God wants you to be transformed. For right now, God wants you to be pure and holy. God wants you to be transformed for what reason? For this reason here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brothers and sisters, in our lives we need to be proving that. We need to be proving what the will of God is, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not only to ourselves, but to those individuals around us, we need to be a light. We need to be a testimony to what God is requiring of mankind today. We need to be living the life that proves to other individuals what the will of God is. We may not know why Lindrick had to die. But brothers and sisters, if it speaks to one individual, if his death, his sudden death, speaks to one individual and causes that individual to think seriously and to change their life and to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to the direction from God, it's worth it. We may not fully understand that. And it may take years for Linford and Lisa to understand that. But I'm sure it's going to be a blessing to them and a help in healing the wound if they find out of one person that was brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the death of their son. And every one of us this morning needs to stop and consider the question, why am I here? Just as well as a death can speak for the Lord, so can a life. And we have the responsibility to be speaking of the Lord by our life. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Proving by my life. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says here, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter here is saying to those he's writing to, I'm not trying to bring anything new. I'm not trying to expound some great new philosophy. But I'm trying to stir up your minds, help you to remember, help you to rivet it in your minds what God is saying. Dropping down to verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why am I here? God wants all mankind to come to repentance. And he may just be waiting in somebody's life until that happens. Maybe that's why we're still here. Maybe there's something in our lives that God is just waiting. God is giving us the opportunity to get things right with him. Maybe God is just giving us the opportunity one more day to say, God, I surrender. I give my life to you. Or maybe he's saying, He's giving us one more day to say, God, this little corner in my life that I've been reserving for myself, that I've been selfish with, that I've been saying, God, I want this. I want to keep on doing this. Or I want to keep on being this. Or I don't understand the reason for this, so I don't want to do that. Maybe God's just giving us one more day to say, God, I surrender everything to you. Or maybe God is just giving us one more day for us to come up beside that brother or sister that we know is having a struggle, giving us one more opportunity to come up to them and say, I'm praying for you. I'm here to help. Or maybe God is giving us one more day. Maybe we're here for one more day because we have contact with our neighbor. And we know our neighbor is living in sin. And God is giving us one more day to talk to our neighbor and say, you know, Jesus Christ died for you. Maybe God is giving us one more day to speak to our son or daughter and say, won't you allow God, won't you allow Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? Won't you allow Jesus Christ to take control? Dropping down to verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, for new heavens, and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. If we're looking forward to heaven, and I believe every one of us here is, we're looking forward to spending eternity in heaven with God, with Jesus Christ, and experience all those glories that John speaks about and so much more that John couldn't explain. But we see here that it requires diligence on our part now. Oh yes, I want to go to heaven. I want to experience all that. But I want this now. Maybe sometime I'll get to lay that aside. Maybe sometime I'll give that up. But I want to enjoy it now. And then I'll take care of it. And brothers and sisters, tomorrow it may be too late. We need to be diligent now. He says here that ye may be found in him, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not when I get older and more mature. It's now. Because we don't know what's going to happen this evening. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There may be somebody sitting here in this auditorium today who will be laying in the morgue tomorrow. And that sounds very morbid, but brothers and sisters, it's a reality. It's something we need to stop and think about. Why am I here? If you're still here, and I know you are, what are you doing with your time? Brother Lynn talked about time, and I was going to mention a little bit about that, but I think he covered it very well. You're still here. Why? Let's pray.